Good morning, St. Louis. You are listening to the Home Improvement Show right here, right now on KMOX. I'm your host, like he said, Rich Orris, and I am here with you every Saturday morning to help you with everything from everyday maintenance to those big remodeling projects that you might be dreaming about. The phone lines are open for you today. Give me a call, 314-436-7900, whether it's a simple leaky faucet, a tricky repair, a big kitchen remodel you're planning. I'm here to help make sure you make some smart choices for your home. And how about this? We've got a long holiday weekend ahead of us here. So for a lot of folks, that means an extra day to finally get those projects you've been putting off. Maybe it's cleaning up the yard, sealing the deck, touching up some paint, or even starting a big bathroom upgrade. A little extra time goes a long way this weekend when it comes to those home improvements. So let's make the most of what we can. Grab your coffee, your favorite drink, look around the house, and then give me a call. Let's kick off the weekend by tackling that to-do list for you together right here today. Like I said, we've got plenty going on, plenty of time for you. Anything you need, 314-436-7900, and no Cardinals until this evening. So we've got a full two-hour show for everyone today. Cards time's around 4:45, 5 p.m. They're going to be kicking off here. So we've got time, everything that you need today. What is going on at your home? I know there's a list out there. I know you're thinking about it with the long weekend and how can I fill Monday and what can I get accomplished here? So, hey, let's jump straight to the phones. We've got Patrick on the line and let's see what's going on with Patrick. Hey, you there?
Yes, I am. Good morning, Rich.
Good morning.
I live in a 100-year-old two-story brick house. I recently had the fireplace chimney swept, and the chimney sweep told me that my fireplace chimney is no longer meets code because it doesn't have a flue liner. And the amount of money that he wanted to charge me to put a flue liner in was in five figures. I thought, well, I'll get some bids for some other companies. And two other companies each wanted to charge me $300 to do a flue inspection, even though the chimney sweep had already given me a level one flue inspection. So I just don't know what to do at this point. You know, over $10,000 seems like a lot for a flue liner.
Yeah. So do you know, is the what kind of information did you get from that chimney sweep? Did he take any video? Do you have anything to show, like what he was seeing, or just his explanation?
I have a written report.
Okay. Is there any photos with it?
Some.
Okay. Cause and that's a part of why some of the other companies might be like, well, we gotta really inspect this well, because it is hard to rely on, unless it's something independent. It's hard to rely on someone else's report and know without some kind of proof, video, evidence that shows what's going on, that you really know that for fact. So that's definitely why a couple of these other places are like, yeah, I would want to do an inspection, because they might want to be able to tell you, too, you don't need a liner, or maybe there's a different way. But do you have any idea also what it's, because in that chimney, it should be like a clay flue liner. Is that what's in there now?
No.
Like the, oh, it's not.
No.
Is it brick?
No, it's a 100-year-old house. It's just bricks.
Bricks.
But the chimney sweep didn't indicate that there was any trouble with the mortar in the chimney.
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely. So I can tell you this, for one, if you're putting in a liner on something like that, there is some difficulties because you have to get access and you have to get this thing hooked up to the chimney box at the top, and with the damper at the top of the firebox that closes and opens and closes that up, and that's got to be kind of sealed and connected really well. So a lot of times when they're doing a project like that, they are like literally going through the brick wall or dismantling part of the firebox, or there's some brick work like that. So I know that it can get pretty expensive to have that done. So that may be a part of why it's so expensive, but I would definitely say it's worth to pay another $300 and get a really good inspection report. Get somebody that's going to talk to them before you pay it, before they come out, and talk to them about an actual video camera scope, where you'll have a lot of the proof and the evidence and the video that shows exactly what's going on. Because there are some other ways to do things that I know, when you have a clay liner and you get some cracks in it, or you get some of the mortar missing between them, there's a liner they can spray in that kind of coats everything. So there might be other alternatives to how to repair this also, if there are issues with it. Because you definitely, that you need that smoke to work. You need it to be the right size, and you need it to go out without leaching into the walls and getting out and letting air come in and out, because that can start fires and things. So definitely, I think it's worth a second opinion in paying them to do a good inspection video and all of that, to really gain some proof, and just to talk to someone else that talk your way through it and see if they're saying the exact same thing or not.
Okay.
Yep. Wish I could be a little more help, but I would definitely say it's important, especially if the more you use this chimney, the more important that is. And it's definitely worth another opinion.
Yeah, and he said that when it's time to sell the house, that it won't,
yes,
the chimney won't pass inspection. But,
yeah, and so, that is something that they look into, and that is something that would come up to where you're either going to have it fixed, or you're going to have to, like, sell it without it fixed, but then they'll take money off the house so that they can get it fixed, or
right.
You know, you'll have to end up negotiating that point in the end or whatever. So either way, this is going to cost you some money somewhere down the line. And that's another reason it's a good idea to get it checked into a little bit further.
Okay.
All righty.
Okay. Thank you.
Perfect. You're welcome, Patrick. And hey, we got Sheila on the line. We're going to get into a quick break. Sheila, if you could just hang on for a couple minutes here, we'll get to you with more home improvement and Sheila's question right after this. Welcome back to the Home Improvement Show, right here with me today, Rich Orris, and you can find me right here at 314-436-7900. Anything you need, we'll get you in, get you some help, just like we're about to do for Sheila here. Sheila, you there? Can you hear me?
I am. Good morning.
All yes, right. Sir. Good morning. Thanks for calling.
Hi.
What's going on?
Thanks. Well, I just had a range hood replaced yesterday, and was told that after all these years that I've lived in the home, it is vented to the attic. There is no outside vent.
Ah.
Is that a problem for the insulation in the attic?
I mean, that's definitely a problem for several things. And in most municipalities, it is code now that when even bathroom fans, vent fans, any kind of vent fans that go into any sort of crawl space, attic space, anything in the home like that, that they be vented to the exterior. So more than likely it's kind of code now that it should be. But yeah, I mean, because in the winter, if you're using it and you got very, very warm, very moist air going up into your attic, and it's really, really cold outside, and you're using that while you're cooking, you could be creating condensation inside that attic and just getting things very, very wet. I've seen attics frost, like the windshield of your car, where the backside inside of the plywood inside the attic is just covered in frost. And then when it thaws, of course, it's water, and it's eaten away at the plywood, and it's rusting the nails and just kind of deteriorate. So it could deteriorate your roof in the wintertime. And then the grease and just everything getting in the air from the cooking and all, it's, yeah, that's not going to be any better for your insulation. For, I mean, even possible if it is some grease getting up in there in that moisture, and then it's getting all over the insulation, there's a slight chance of a little bit of a fire hazard too if there's too much of that.
And who would do that work? Who would take it out through the roof? A roofer?
So, no, because the it's kind of a combination, because you almost got like an HVAC contractor to do the duct work, and then you've got the roof work, and so you are kind of more likely that maybe there's an HVAC contractor out there that can do the roof work also. That's a little more likely than it is a roofer doing the HVAC work.
But wouldn't that negate any kind of warranty on the roof if someone else poked a hole through it?
I mean, it could in that area. If you've got a roof and you've got a workmanship warranty with a company, it really shouldn't negate it from the manufacturer as far as the shingles themselves, because the manufacturer's warranty is much, much different than the workmanship warranty of the company that installed it, because the manufacturer's covering more of just, is there a manufacturer's defect in the shingles themselves from when they made them? And then you've got a company saying, we installed them correctly. Sometimes the manufacturer's warranty will cover that workmanship also if it's a company that is recommended by them, that has been trained by them. But your manufacturer's warranty that goes 20, 30, 40, 50 years is a lot different, and it won't affect that.
Okay.
But it could affect if a roofer shows up and your roof's, you know, they got a 5-year warranty and it's 4 years old, and they go, well, someone else did that, then obviously they wouldn't be responsible if they didn't do it properly. This is something that Mosby Building Arts could do for you, because we kind of can handle both of those.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're interested, you can call our office and see what the difference would be from a company that has the resources to do it all versus maybe not, if they really can or not.
Well, actually,
and you're trying to find a roofer and an HVAC combination.
It was Mosby that alerted me to this years ago when you put the insulation in.
Oh,
the insulation put in a project that you did for me at my house. So your project manager said you were not, there is no exit to the outside. You're venting to the attic. And that's how I learned that's the way it was built. That's the way it was set up. And so I replaced the hood yesterday because the old one stopped working it seemed to be blowing back into the kitchen anyway. So the new vent actually sucks out, and now it's going to be sucking back into the attic. So I appreciate your help, and I will certainly look into trying to figure out how we get this done without costing an arm and a leg, if that's even possible.
Yeah.
But thank you for your help
today. Yeah, you're very welcome. No problem, Sheila. Have a good one. And I wish the project manager would have brought that back to the consultant, because we could have right then, you know, looked at that and said, let's get it fixed. Let's get this taken care of. And we could have handled that. But, hey, we've got Frank on the line. Let's jump over and see what's going on with Frank. How you doing, Frank?
Well, I'm doing great, and I really appreciate the show.
Thank you.
I'll try to be quick because I talk too much. But
They tell me the same thing.
Okay. After about, we moved into the house that had blacktop. That was 10 years ago. And so we went to concrete, according to Mosby, and I've never, ever regretted that. If anybody's listened, you've got to go to B&W. Now, the first thing he said, I said, I'm getting bids. He said, we're not the cheapest. I said, I don't care about that, you know? But I'll tell you, I can't say enough. If I was having concrete, it would have to be them. But with that having been said, he said, now, if you want it sealed, you got to wait a year. Well, we didn't like that slick, slidey look, so we never got it sealed. But we have a ton of trees out here, and of course, you know, through the years, the leaves fall, and we keep it blown and all that. I just finished a project on my walkway, and I used my pressure washer. And I got to thinking, if I was going to try to do this driveway, it's about 200 feet long, has a slight incline. 5 years from now, I'd have to start all over again with that device, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So with that thought in mind, my question is, I know there's companies that will clean driveways, and I thought, do they have like a boom sprayer or something? Because there's no way you're going to walk around with a handheld pressure washer and do this type of area, you know? And I thought about calling B&W, but then I thought, well, I'm listening to you every Saturday. I might as well call and ask you, you know?
Yeah. So there is a couple ways that they can do that. And sometimes it is they just do walk around and they use a little wider tip, and you can power wash that off just with the handheld. It takes a little bit. They'll have higher pressured power washers, and they'll be experienced at it. So they'll be a little quicker than me and you probably. But then there's also, they have these concrete, flat concrete cleaners for power washing that it kind of looks like a lawnmower. It's about 2 foot circle, and you walk this around with your power washer hooked up, and just, it's like mowing your grass. You know, if you were mowing your grass with a 5-inch wide spray, or if you're mowing your grass with 24 or 30 inch wide thing, it's the same thing. So it covers a bigger area, and it's spraying all around and cleans it off. So a lot of professional power washing companies will have that. That makes it easier and speeds it up for how they clean it. But you'd mentioned about you didn't like the shiny kind of sealer, like on top of the concrete that coats it like that. What kind of concrete are we talking about? Is it exposed aggregate? Is it just the regular room finish?
It's your brush concrete. Yeah. They had to tear up the old asphalt and they started fresh, you know?
Yep. So you can seal that with a sealer that you won't see. It won't have the shiny coat on top. It's not a roll-on. There's a spray-on sealer that you can use that soaks into the pores, and it doesn't make that coat, and it doesn't change the appearance as much, and it doesn't really make it shiny. So I would definitely advise, especially since B&W put this driveway in, they will power wash and they will seal that driveway for you. I would call them and start with them.
No, and, you know, I thought about that, and that's where I was going to go. But like I say, I listen every morning, and I thought, well, before I call them, I'll pick your brain for a second, you know?
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. Yeah.
Okay.
All the great conversations, it just helps everyone in St. Louis.
Well, you're one of the few people that ever told me it was a great conversation with me. So
yeah.
I really appreciate that.
Well, it was, Frank. I appreciate it. Have a good day.
And you too.
Yep.
Thank you.
Perfect. We're going to get into our middle hour break here. We got a lot of time left for everybody. Don't forget about me. 314-436-7900. We'll get you right in here with more Home Improvement Show, more questions, more answers, more great conversations when we return. All right. Welcome back. More home improvement for everybody. We're right here. We got lots of time. We are having some really great questions, conversations, going on so far today. You can find me right here. You can get to me anything you need on, about, or around your home, 314-436-7900. I'm sure there's a lot of work, a lot of projects, a lot of DIY work, a lot of honey-do lists going on this long holiday weekend. So let's see if we can help you out. And actually it was Thursday afternoon, I was helping somebody out, and we were kind of looking at some issues, and we started talking about the roof, and I mentioned to them about how their roof has two layers, and we kind of started getting into, is that good? Is that bad? What does that do? And fortunately, they've had that roof on there for about 20 years, so they've gotten pretty good life expectancy, lifetime out of that so far, if it goes any longer, even better. But we kind of got into the conversation of how, you know, what happens when you put a roof on top of a roof, and it brings me also to the theory of when you think about anything, when you think about almost any project out there, and really thinking that everything is as good as its base. I talk a lot about the B&W concrete and the rock base, and I've taken up driveways with them where it's on dirt. There's no rock base. And they're like, well, now we figured out why it was so bad, why it was cracking so bad, why it was when you have asphalt driveway, like Frank had his changed out from asphalt to that, that's a thinner top coat. It's only a couple inches. It's softer than concrete. So when they work their base, they're even bigger, deeper, and different than how you do it for concrete. It's a stronger base than concrete. So taking out asphalt to go to concrete could be a good thing, because you've got this base down there, hopefully, that really works. So everything's windows and doors, siding and flashing, what's behind it, what's that base, how do you shed water, how do you keep water out, paint, how many paint issues have we talked about on this show where it's probably just wasn't primed properly, and it's just the primer really helps the paint life. Flooring, you think of ceramic tile, the base underneath it, it's got to be a certain thickness. It's got to hold so well, and the floor joist can change what that base on top needs to be, how thick that underlayment needs to be. So 2x10 floor joist with a 3/4 inch plywood with a 1/2 inch concrete board works out really well to get you to a ceramic tile. But there's all sorts of all of these products out there that really need a good base underneath them. When we talk about drains in the ground from your downspouts, and you get to the end and you have the pop-up emitter, and doing a good rock base underneath that to keep that pop-up at ground level and not have it sink is very important. Think of your landscaping, the trees, the grass, the plants, everything you do. That's all as good as the condition of the soil. When you have better soil and you condition your soil really well, that's all going to work out better for you. So when we look at a roof with another roof underneath it, the general rule of thumb is that it cuts the life expectancy of the roof in half. It takes, so if you bought a 30-year shingle, you're probably going to get about 15 years out of that shingle. And so I was telling them a story about when I first started, when I changed positions here at Mosby Building Arts, and I was running jobs and working on jobs, and I learned so much coming to work for Scott Mosby and getting trained and learning about how to install items better, products better, learning about the drainage plane and what to do outside, learning about all these different products. So when I started firsthand going around and looking at houses and helping out consulting-wise and giving advice, and I was being trained by our ex-head of production who was into the consulting at that point, too. And so we're going around, and I'm following with him, and we're talking about it all, and I'm watching what he's doing. And after about a week of that, he asked me if I had any questions. And I said, you know, the biggest thing I'm thinking is, when am I going to show up to a home where I did some of this work, I worked on this home, and maybe at a different company years back, not having the education and just knowing what I learned from those people or how they did work, when am I going to run into something that I did that wasn't great and now it needs to be fixed, redone, done better, however. And he's like, well, yeah, that's interesting. That could happen, you know. And so I guess I was doing this about a year or something, and I showed up to a house in Baldwin. And it was a roof. It had some roof leaks, and we were there to look at why the roof was leaking. And we're starting our tour on the inside of the house, and he's showing me all the areas where the leaks are, and in this bathroom and in here. And we walk into the kitchen. And he's like, so in the kitchen here, there's some water stains here. And I look off the back of the kitchen, and I see a room addition that I built. And I'm like, I immediately knew what was happening. I immediately said, oh my gosh, when we built this room addition, his roof was so old, we couldn't tie our new shingles into the old shingles together. And they were so brittle, they were breaking off. It just wouldn't work. So the owner of the company sold him a recover on top of the roof for the rest of the house. And we feathered it out and we did a recover. And now it was 13, 14 years since I'd built that room addition. I'm back and that I'm explaining to him that, well, that's what they sold you. No one, it cost less because we didn't have to remove the rest of the shingles, but you basically bought about a 15-year product because of that other roof underneath it. And here we are, and there's really no good way to make that any better or do any repairs once there's two layers like that. It's almost impossible. It's very difficult, and you're just better off getting a new roof. And that was a real shame. And wow, I was like, you know, it happened. I showed up, but that's what the company had us doing, and it's fine. And a lot of companies and roofers have done that for years. Most of them, you talk to them now, they're definitely getting away from that. But hey, we're going to get into a quick break here. So if Winnie can hang on to the line for a couple minutes, let's take a quick break. We'll get to her call, and we'll get to more home improvement right after this. We'll be back. All right, we're back. Home Improvement Show. Remember, you can find me right here, 314-436-7900. As promised, let's get to Winnie and see what is going on in St. Louis. How you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Oh, you're very welcome. I'm doing great. What's going on?
Well, I was asking the gentleman, when St. Clair Roofing went out of business, do you know who took over that business or who purchased the listing of customers or so?
That I do not. No idea.
Okay.
But I'll bet Google or AI might be able to figure it out. Yeah. Yeah.
Okie dokie. Well, I'll check it because they did a lot of work for me, and then they went out of business after 100 years. So I was like, okay, somebody had to pick up that business.
Yeah.
All righty.
Yep. Well, I'm sure somebody at least got the whole list and everything, and yeah.
Yep. Okie dokie.
All right.
Well, thank you.
Appreciate it. You're very welcome. Wish I had more information, but yeah, that's the thing. I was just talking to a client I was visiting about how easy it is to become a company to do remodeling work. And that, so there are so many companies out there. It's kind of like if you went to college at Mizzou and someone says, oh, when were you, did you know Jimmy Walker? And you're like, yeah, there was probably like 50,000 people there, so I'm really not sure. And that's how these companies are. And I was actually telling my story of when I started my first kind of makeshift remodeling company that I'd been working for other companies, but I started doing a bunch of stuff on my own too. And basically needed siding from a siding supplier that only sold to companies. They did not sell to the general public. And there's a lot of companies like that, that you got to be some sort of Mosby Building Arts or something like that to order and get these products from them. So I'm like, I'm a company. Yeah, sure. And I made some business cards and stuff. And I went in there and handed them some and filled out a sheet of paper. And I left the door with siding. And I was like, dang, look at me. I'm a company. Well, not really, you know, it's almost too easy. It's kind of a shame that it could be that easy. And it's just, yeah, it's a good question out there of, so there's so many companies that you hear about, and it's literally impossible to keep up with or know them all or have some sort of information on them all. I hear names all the time that some I'm pretty familiar with, some I've heard quite a few times, and some just really never even heard of. But hey, we've got Greg on the line, so let's jump over to Greg and see what's happening. How you doing, Greg?
Good. How are you today, sir?
I am wonderful, wonderful. What's going on with yourself?
Well, I've got a kitchen cabinet being installed right now.
Okay.
And if you're looking out our kitchen window, the soffit wasn't level. It was not leveled before the cabinets were put in. So there's an eighth of an inch gap on one side, probably a 3/8 inch gap on the other side of these cabinets. Clearly visible. I wanted the installer to take them back down and level out this soffit. Their response was to put up, now on one side, it's just the 12 inch side of the cabinet. The other one, it's the front of the cabinets, and that wall of cabinet runs 5 feet.
Uh-huh.
And what they did on the 12-inch side was put a piece of wood up there that matches the cabinets. They cut it off the trim pieces you get to fill the gaps.
Yeah.
With these cabinets.
Yep.
What's your thought on how that should be fixed?
Well, and so it is, the first thing I'll say is it's very, very common that soffits, that ceilings, they wave, they're not level. It's extremely, extremely common. And we deal with it all the time, trying to put cabinets and up to the ceilings. And that's why the two ways that we usually handle that a lot of times is to either, one, leave some sort of a gap, a distance away. So we might put a kitchen cabinet with a small piece of crown molding up there, but it doesn't physically touch the ceiling. So if you leave a gap, it's harder to see the distance in that gap. Or a piece of trim, like they're saying, is you get some sort of decorative cabinet color matching trim, you put that up there. But it what that does is it kind of changes your eye as to, like, where are you seeing this difference? So you'll see the difference from the trim to the cabinet doors instead of from the top of the cabinet to the actual soffit ceiling or drywalled ceiling. So then the other way to fix it is to do exactly what you said, is you level out that soffit, you retape mud corner bead, and you flatten that soffit to make it level so that your cabinets are fairly consistent. But even when you do that, even when you tape and mud and you level that out, there's going to be some imperfections in it, and you'll still have to, if your cabinets are touching the ceiling, you'll have to either caulk or something to fill a gap, because you can, an 1/8 to 3/8 is a big gap, but even when you level it, you might still have 1/16 to 1/8 to waving a little bit, and your cabinets go together pretty perfectly straight. So you could still have little areas that need to be caulked. But so you can fix it the way you're saying. Most cabinet installers, though, depending on what, you know, who the company is, what they do, may not have the guys to do the tape and mud and drywall. They may say, have someone else fix it, and then we'll hang the cabinets again.
Yeah, this is, in honesty, this is Mosby putting these cabinets in.
Okay. So, yeah, so they're just trying to not add a lot of cost in how this is being done, because there's no real way to know if that ceiling's perfectly level, how that works out, and all of that. So the trim is your easiest, best effort. You'll notice the distance between the doors and the piece of trim less than you will the ceiling drywall to the cabinet. So, yeah. But I had a kitchen about a year or two ago that the same way, going stuff towards the ceiling, and we did. We took out some drywall and fixed some areas and refloated tape, mud, and fixed everything the way they wanted it, but there was cost associated to that because it's not something that was planned for, and it's not something that was known about up front that, hey, we should do this in order to, you know, make sure it's going to be perfect, because this is an imperfect profession in an imperfect world, and these things just tend to happen.
Yeah, sure.
You know, you just don't know. But we've got the tapers and the painters and the people that can do what you're asking for. So, yeah, they just need to get the consultant probably back involved to say what's the way to do it, what kind of cost are we talking about, so that you could then make a good educated decision on what you want.
Yeah, my only frustration is that I pointed out that the corners.
Yeah, hey, I'm really sorry. I am completely out of time. We got a hard break here at the end of the hour. So we'll get back to more home improvement right after this.